Attention economic developers. The unspoken secret of our industry is that responding to RFIs is time-consuming and often feels like a waste. You need SiteHunt. Dane has harnessed AI to do the heavy lifting for you. SiteHunt builds detailed building and sites databases and generates instant RFI responses, transforming tedious tasks into winning opportunities. Stop wasting time and start winning more projects. Visit SiteHunt.io today. SiteHunt, where AI meets economic development.
Welcome to the Econ Dev Show. We explore the strategies, ideas, and insights that are driving economic development forward into the future. You'll hear new insights from passionate EDs about their successes and struggles. And you'll learn from attraction and retention experts about how to apply actionable strategies inside your EDO. We'll help take your organization, your community, and your career to the next level. Here's your host, Dane Carlson.
Welcome back to the Econ Dev Show. Today we're here with Mary Cassiope. Mary is the founder and CEO of Bridges to Prosperity Northern Illinois, a national consultant with AHA Process, and author of the book, Economic Development That Benefits Everyone, Poverty Reduction is a Key Strategy. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I asked you to be on the show because you're the author of this book, and the title just sounds amazing. Why don't you tell us, I guess, maybe in a sentence or two, what it's about?
Yeah, so it's really a culmination of over 22 or so years of my experience in working in really different areas of community development, economic development, and poverty reduction. And through those experiences, I really started to see how poverty reduction really is a key strategy in economic development. And that's what really motivated me to write the book.
Gotcha. So I'm assuming, I did a little bit of reading on Bridges to Prosperity, Northern Illinois. So that's where you did the bulk of your work. So tell us about that organization and tell us what you do there.
Yeah, so we've really continued to evolve as an organization. We've rebranded from another nonprofit organization that was started several years ago. And that previous organization really realized that we were simply putting the Band-Aid on the crisis of the day for the individuals that we were serving and not really getting to the core issues. We were really looking for a new direction and a way to move from intention to impact, really as it relates to poverty reduction and upward mobility. So in 2019, I began researching Bridges Out of Poverty. It's a community model that was developed by AHA Process. And we hosted a community training with one of their national consultants, and we had 130 people from 65 different community organizations that attended. So I knew my community was really interested in this. My next step was to become a certified trainer in the Bridges Out of Poverty model, as well as a facilitator in curriculum that is really meant to be for those experiencing generational and situational poverty. That curriculum is called Getting Ahead. So since that time, I've provided 16 of these community trainings in my community to help local agencies, nonprofits, government organizations, and our faith community to really gain a deeper understanding of the complexities of poverty. And then over the last 4 years, we have had almost 200 community members that have graduated from our Getting Ahead classes. They're learning how to build resources, life stability, and create their own plans towards self-sufficiency. So after about 4 years of the Bridges Out of Poverty model being implemented, we brought all of our community leaders together back in May of 2023, and we started having a discussion around the idea that, you know, we're all providing all of these different services and programs as it relates to poverty reduction in our community, but the needle's not moving in terms of poverty reduction. And so that really led to a very passionate and robust conversation with our community leaders around the idea that we do not have a poverty reduction strategy that our entire community is working on together. And so we have formed our mobility coalition that is meeting on a monthly basis. We're using framework that was developed by Urban Institute to help guide us in this process. And it really helps communities to understand the predictors or metrics that all communities kind of share that can really truly create upward mobility out of poverty for the residents in your community.
That's so interesting. You said a lot, and I want to dive into different parts of it. But I guess, sort of as a overview of the whole thing, what does a poverty reduction strategy look like?
Yeah. So again, using that framework from Urban Institute, it's looking at five different pillars in a community that includes housing, work, education, healthcare, and governance. And then under those five focus areas, there are a set of metrics or predictors that, again, indicate an individual's ability to achieve that upward mobility out of poverty. So it's anything from financial security to job attainment, workforce development. It's access to healthcare. You know, it's just this whole set of metrics. And so we have pulled the metrics for our own community to understand where we're at in terms of the national average throughout all of these different areas. And then we've also pulled the data from two communities that are very similar in demographics to Rockford, Illinois, which include Evansville, Indiana, and Flint, Michigan. So kind of an apples-to-apples comparison in terms of demographics, industry base, population, you know, those sorts of things. So this process is really helping our community to understand what are the areas that perhaps we have duplication of service in, but then what are also the areas where we have gaps in service or gaps in terms of resources? And then really identifying how do we fill that gap and how are we creating equity and upward mobility through this process?
So, I mean, it sounds like in a sense that it ties in very directly with sort of standard economic development, looking at housing and workforce and education and healthcare and governance. But you're taking this more sort of holistic approach and on all of them and finding the gaps as opposed to just, you know, recruiting jobs or doing that. You're going into deep on each one of these things. So having done this, how does, you know, what do the metrics look like there?
Yeah, so really as we're looking at the metrics, what we're trying to identify again are two or three specific areas that our community wants to really focus on and write this poverty reduction strategy on together. So there were eight different communities that beta tested this process through Urban Institute, and there are 26 additional communities that are kind of working as cohorts through this process. So we really, again, have the opportunity to see how other communities have put their plans together, which is always great to have that benchmark. And then for the communities that actually started this, gosh, like 4 or 5 years ago, they're starting to show some evidence-based best practices that we can really kind of look at and see how they formulated their programs, what tactics or strategies that they put together. And really identifying, you know, what were their focus areas. So we're sort of still in the process where we have done a stakeholder engagement piece. Our next piece of this next step in the process is community engagement. So getting feedback from folks with lived experience and all of this data that we're collecting in addition to understanding all of the agencies and nonprofits and government groups and you know, the areas that also fall into kind of your standard economic development. What organizations in our community own these individual metrics? Who's already doing work in these areas? What are their results looking like? And what could perhaps be the tipping point to help them achieve more? Is it advocacy or lobbying that is needed behind some of these issues? Is it more volunteers? Is it more funding? So it's really starting to have an impact in our community where we're starting to also have conversations with our community foundation about the way that funding is provided in our community, where we're really looking and hoping to identify these areas that could really, again, reach that tipping point if they just had a little bit more funding or volunteer support behind their efforts.
I'm sure that you're seeing, especially in the communities that have already done this, that making a plan, spelling it all out, finding metrics to track allows all the different organizations with their own individual priorities to sort of get on the same page and move together in the same direction. Is that one of the big sort of benefits that comes out of something like this?
It is, you know, and I think that's also part of the Bridges Out of Poverty model that has worked really well through this process. You know, when we think about all of the different sectors in a community that touch poverty in some capacity, it's everything from your early childhood education, K through 12, your post-secondary, it's your government, it's your healthcare, it's, you know, your chamber, your EDC, agencies and nonprofits. And many times what we find is that we're all kind of working in our own silos, in our own programs, and not really talking to others within our own sector. And we're very, very rarely talking cross-sector about the work that we're doing. And so this really provides a way for us to build sort of that, you know, collective impact approach where we're building this collaboration with all of the sectors coming together, having the same conversation. And then also, really, I think what is going to be the piece of the success that we're going to really need going forward is also the support from our city and county. So we do have individuals from our city and county that are serving on our mobility coalition that are an active part of helping us put this plan together. There are some things that may come out of this plan that are going to require the city or county to maybe be thinking a little bit differently than they had in the past. Or to provide a different way in terms of providing services or resources in our community. And so we want to make sure that we are being thoughtful in this process and making sure that our mayor and county board chairman are aware of the work that we're doing, the direction that we're going, and just, you know, keeping them engaged in this going forward.
I would imagine that's one of the hardest parts, the sort of having to reframe everything for the government officials and their funding models and their priorities, because this is so, it's such a very different way of thinking about all of these organizations interacting and this model. Do you foresee challenges within that, or have you seen challenges in the cities that have already done something like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the challenge is really in helping to educate our elected officials about the issues. I think that, you know, one of the topics that is coming up across the nation is affordable housing. And a lot of elected officials think that there's affordable housing in their communities. And so we've been just changing the way we're talking about it, where we talk about attainable housing instead of affordable housing. And I think we've learned that with this upward mobility process also. Is we found that elected officials don't always like to use the terminology poverty reduction, but they will talk about upward mobility within their community. And so I think that it's just kind of reframing the way that we're talking about it. And really, again, educating our elected officials on these different areas and how they're all really so connected.
As I talk to economic developers from all over the country, they're all having the exact same problems. They all have housing problems. They all have workforce problems. They all have healthcare and education challenges, and childcare, you know, is a big one. Do you think that out of a program like this, and the metrics that you collect, and the lessons that you learn, are going to come models that'll be useful, you know, from big cities to small cities, you know, all across the country? Or is this just a little piece of what it is that we, as a, you know, as a country, have to do to sort of solve these, especially intergenerational problems? Or, I guess, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think that it really does take a variety of different programs. You know, while some of the themes are very consistent across the nation, the intricacies of each community are different.
Right.
Obviously, you know, a very rural community has very different challenges than a very urban community. But I think that, you know, a lot of what I talk about in my book is the Bridges Out of Poverty model that we have been using now for 4+ years. The workshops and trainings that we provide really help our community members to better understand the complexities of poverty. It sort of helps them put those pieces together. You know, I think that for the people that were raised in middle class, many times we don't understand the choices that people in poverty make. And what our getting ahead classes really help our participants with is the idea that our society is really based on middle class skill sets and values. If you're not raised in that environment and those behaviors are not modeled for you, you sort of don't know what you don't know. And so the getting ahead classes help our community members that come from that generational or situational poverty. It helps them to understand what they don't know that they don't know. And then they're able to build resources and life stability from that. So the combination of really helping our community in terms of our agencies and government and nonprofits to really better understand those complexities of poverty, plus having the classes for individuals experiencing poverty, it really helps to balance both sides of that. And then also starting this poverty reduction strategy, I think that that's kind of going to bridge all of those pieces together.
That is so interesting. And you just reminded me that, you know, when I was a kid or when I was in high school, I worked for a day labor staffing company. And we would hire workers at the beginning of the day and contract them out. And at the end of the day, they'd come back in and we'd pay them. And we were paying them just, you know, a little bit above minimum wage at the time, which was, I think we're paying maybe $5 or $4.50 an hour. And I remember, you know, sitting there as this was my, you know, high school job. And I remember sort of calculating out how much money they had at the end of the day and knowing that many of them lived in sort of daily rate hotel rooms nearby and sort of figuring out, oh, you know, they have this much money. And if they went and they spent this, you know, they spent this amount of money on a meal at this, I don't remember what restaurant I imagined, but this restaurant, they would have, you know, enough money to pay for their room. And if they, but then they would have money left over. And at the end of the month, they would have, you know, a lot of money and, or they'd have a lot more money. And they could go and they could rent an apartment and then, you know, they could buy a car. And just thinking this from my perspective as a sort of middle-class kid, looking at these people in this totally different sort of life experience, lived experience that they had. And I just couldn't understand why they couldn't get out of poverty. You know, watching them day in and day out, work all day, get their check and leave. And you mentioning all of this sort of brings that to mind because, you know, we look at it from one perspective and we say, why aren't they doing the things that they need to do if they just, you know, didn't buy that treat or whatever at the end of the day, they would have, you know, at the end of the month, they'd have plenty of money. But you're saying that these are skills that actually have to be taught because they didn't grow up with these.
Absolutely. And I think what you're talking about also really lends itself to some of the data that we receive from United Way. So United Way has a great report that they put out with an acronym of ALICE, and it stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. So these are households that are working but not earning enough to afford even a bare bones household budget. So it's really interesting when we look at the stats of this, you know, in our county, Winnebago County in Illinois, 26% of our population is considered ALICE households. I think that also a piece of it that ties into this is when you look at the U.S. economy and over the last 45 years, more and more part-time jobs being created without benefits. So now we have people working two and three jobs, still lacking benefits and still falling into that ALICE threshold. So it is all interconnected.
Right. Yeah, it is. And it's, you can see that that acronym is really good. Asset constrained. What was it? Asset constrained, limited income?
ALICE. Yeah. So asset limited.
Oh, asset limited.
Income constrained.
Income constrained.
And employed.
Right. Right. They're yeah. absolutely working. They just don't quite have enough. And so that makes sense why these things that we think about them, like, why can't they just save their money? Why can't they just, you know, do these things that they need to do to get ahead? They're not capable of doing because of their where they are in life. And maybe this is how they grew up and their parents were this way. That is so interesting.
Yeah, they also do a living wage calculator. So, you know, they take kind of the average income of people maybe working two or three jobs without benefits. And when you put that cost of living together in a community, you know, I think in my community, it's something like $21 an hour is considered, you know, living wage. And our minimum wage just recently in the state of Illinois got raised to $15. So again, if you're making minimum wage, working two or three jobs, you're still not making enough to, again, afford just even that bare bones household budget.
Right, right. So what's the what's been the community reception of this idea? Not just from the stakeholders, but, you know, the community as at large.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, again, the whole idea of this was driven from that conversation that we had with our community leaders almost 2 years ago now. And I think that's really what motivated our community to really come together under this framework and really put this plan together. You know, we realized again that where we really need to create systems change as it relates to poverty reduction. And we really need to start thinking and talking and being strategic about how we're going about reducing poverty in our community. You know, at that meeting, we talked about how we would all remain to be on our hamster wheels, you know, just running every day, pumping out our services and programs and resources, and many times also competing for the same grant funding. But, you know, what would it look like if we did come together and write this plan and really start to, I guess, look at the programs and services that we're offering and how they're really being utilized, which ones are completely underutilized, which ones just need to be promoted a little bit more.
Sure, sure. So how did you get into this? You know, how did this all start and how did you get into this?
Yeah, so it's been a really interesting journey over the last 24 years. I started my career with the Rockford Area Chamber of Commerce back in, gosh, I think it was like 1998. And that was really my first role in community development. It really laid the foundation for the work that I would be doing for many years. From there, I headed up a small chamber of commerce just north of my community. Worked for a municipality as director of economic development, spent a little time in commercial development and was a member of the International Shopping Center Council. You know, got a lot of different professional, I guess, development through International Economic Development Council. You know, did the whole economic development thing for 16 years. And really ended my career in economic development with the Rockford Area Economic Development Council as their director of investor relations. And then I took a complete switch in the work that I was doing in my career and started heading up this faith-based nonprofit organization that was really focused on poverty reduction. And that organization has continued to evolve over the last 8 years through my leadership. And that, again, really led me then to the national consulting role that I have with AHA Process. And really thinking about, you know, just all of the different experiences that I have had and how my economic development world and my poverty reduction world started to collide. And many times at odds with one another, where, you know, I started thinking at the end of the day in economic development, the whole point is to promote and sell your community. And that includes the demographics that you have in your community. So why would you not want to be part of a conversation that was improving the product that you're selling at the end of the day? And I brought that idea to the founder of AHA Process, Ruby Payne. And Ruby said, Mary, you know, you're absolutely right. We'd love to have you write a book on this topic and develop a workshop. So the book was just published in December of this past year. So it's been out just a short month now. And since that time, you know, I really have seen that poverty reduction is beginning to be a top of mind for economic development. Just in the short month, again, that we've been kind of talking about this and promoting the book and the workshop, I've been asked to serve as a facilitator at the International Economic Development Council's Leadership Summit in Washington, D.C. This February, to talk about building collaborations around poverty reduction and including those in community and economic development. I attended the IEDC annual conference in September in Denver, and the CEO, Nathan Olley, at the opening session was just talking about how the very first time at that conference, there were breakout sessions on housing and transportation and childcare. And so I knew that I was on to something here when I heard that. I've also been asked by the IEDC to serve on their Redefining Equitable Economic Development Advisory Committee. So I think that, you know, this is something that is not just top of mind for us locally, but is very top of mind across the nation. So I just feel really blessed to be on the forefront of this.
Oh, that's wonderful. So as someone who's been a real economic developer, a traditional economic developer, and now has taken all of this on, what advice do you have for someone that was in your shoes, you know, 20 years ago, who's maybe hearing these terms, seeing, you know, they look out at their community, obviously, they see their demographics, they see that their demographics could improve, but they don't even know where to start. What's the first thing that you would tell them to do?
Yeah, so through AHA process, they had created this, is your community at risk kind of assessment. I think that's a great place to start. It helps those in community and economic development to really understand sort of where their community is at in these different risk areas. There's also a great assessment that I have in my book that was developed by Tamrec Institute, where you can assess your community's commitment to poverty reduction. So it asks questions around, you know, like, is your community talking about a living wage? Things like, is your business community engaged in poverty reduction conversations? Things like that. But I think that really just being an active part of the discussions that are happening in your community, that was something that really stood out to me in some of the breakout sessions that I attended at the IEDC annual event last fall, where they were talking about economic development is really going where community development has already been. But economic development traditionally has more funding around it than community development. So they said, you know, don't reinvent the wheel. Seek out those in your community that are already doing this work and have conversations with them, build collaborations with them. And again, you know, maybe even use that Bridges Out of Poverty model of building that community collaboration, just making sure that you're engaging all of the right sectors in the conversations in your community.
Well, Mary, this has been fascinating. If any of our listeners want to reach out to you, maybe pick your brain, find out more about this, what is the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, on our website at bridgesnorthernil.com, if you click on the National Consulting link, that has all of the information about my national consulting work in terms of the book, the workshop, some of these assessments that I've been talking about. And then the website also is my organization locally that I have founded. So there's information in that about all of the different community trainings, about the Getting Ahead classes, and about this upward mobility work that we're embarking on.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking about this obviously really important issue. And I think, you know, we're right at the ground floor of really tackling this as a profession. So I appreciate you writing the book. I hope that our readers, or hope that our listeners turn into readers and read your book. And I hope that they gather great insights from it and take them out and apply them in their communities.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Econ Dev Show with Dane Carlson. If you're an economic developer who never stops learning, for more expert strategies, fresh insights, and new ideas to take your career, organization, and your community to the next level, visit us on the web at econdevshow.com.